Hello, and welcome to NDT Now's podcast, GAIN, exploring topics in NDT which affect your business. I'm your host, Mary Beth Michelli. Today's podcast is brought to you by Edify Technologies, the world leader in advanced non-destructive testing solutions designed to always keep you beyond current. For more information, visit edify.com. On today's podcast, we have Deal Moore from NDT Seals here to talk about the history of inspection plugs and inspection labels and how having the right ones are integral to a successful integrity program. And while Deal is here, we'll talk a little bit about the NDT industry as a whole and how NDT Seals continues to contribute to moving the industry forward. Deal, thanks for being here today.
It's my pleasure to be here, Mary Beth, for sure. And thank you for having me.
So I know most of our listeners have probably seen inspection plugs on job sites in the past, but maybe they didn't know what they were or even what they were called. So why don't we just start with what are inspection plugs and how did they come about in the industry?
It goes back to the 1970s, and I'm speaking from a Houston perspective, because it is on the Gulf Coast area where our concentration of petrochemical plants brought about this idea of focusing on corrosion under insulation. And that's the basis entirely for inspection plugs and labels. And it was back in the 70s, the chemical industry led the way on corrosion under insulation monitoring and exposure. Because when you consider it, plants like a Dow or DuPont chemical complex have miles of insulated piping. And by the very nature of insulation, that padding material holds moisture next to the pipes. And in a humid environment like the Gulf Coast, it's a real problem. I mean, moisture gets into these systems. And it, by the 70s, our plants were starting to age, where they're at the extent of their useful life. So for a break to occur in a chemical plant would have serious ramifications for both worker safety and public safety. So it became Dow and DuPont led the way to define regular monitoring at certain intervals on all of their piping, where you would expect to see some corrosion under the insulation, like an elbow, for example. So each plant in the 70s started to identify, here is where we should do our monitoring. And they would identify those points with a numerical identifier and then go out and take a baseline reading. So you go out in the field and you're ready to start your program and you start with a baseline reading and you dig into the insulation because you need to check for corrosion under the insulation, both visually to see it for yourself and also ultrasonically to get a wall thickness reading at that location. So if you're tearing into the insulation to get your baseline reading, you're now opening, you're causing the corrosion under the insulation because you could patch it back, but then you want to go back a year or so later and take a reading in the exact same location. So that's these programs developed at Dow and DuPont, and it's now gotten to be considered best practices for the entire petrochemical industry. So the refineries are now also doing this as well, because they're of roughly the same age and they have just as many miles of insulated piping. And they have the ramifications of serious problems if there were to be a break in the piping, an explosion for worker safety and public safety. So being that you needed to take a visual and an ultrasonic test at the same location, rather than digging into the insulation, inspection plugs came to be. And the first ones were very crude and they didn't seal very well. So they did not last very long. Fortunately, it did not. And my dad was involved with helping the people at Dow identify and create an inspection plug. And it was consisted of a metal ring and a rubber cap, a red rubber cap. And you see these a lot in the Gulf Coast area because they're pretty visible to the naked eye, where you see these red rubber dots everywhere on piping. And they were constructed such that, especially when you put one on like an elbow, you needed that ring onto the metal jacketing of the insulation. And then the rubber cap sat on that ring. And that was what my dad helped Dow develop, was that tool to install these plugs. And so he got involved in the 80s with helping Dow to bring this kind of a product to market. And they used it themselves. All of the Dow plants used those same plugs. And they called them vessel inspection plugs, or VIP plugs, which was a huge step up from the original inspection plugs that didn't seal well at all. But there were some problems even with this one that Dow came up with, that it required a special tool, first of all, that was a cumbersome thing, but it did provide a good seal. It would accomplish almost everything that they wanted to accomplish. And then one of the inspectors at Dow, Curly, as I understand it, had the fattest fingers, and we needed enough clearance for Curly to hold a transducer and get it into the piping under the insulation. So that to this day is why 2.5 inches is what standard inspection plug is. We owe this all to Curly.
That's amazing. The Curly scale.
And today, all of the people that are in the inspection plug business, and there are roughly 4 of us, and we're all mom and pop type operations, generally family run. But we all carry a 2.5 inch inspection plug, and that's where that came from. And so they were round, typically. And so if a tank, say a storage tank, where you had a wide diameter, we could go up to like a 5 inch inspection plug. And then for small diameter piping, we go down to a 1.5 inch inspection plug diameter, which was just enough to get the transducer in there. But that's essentially what drove the development of inspection plugs, was the need for visual and ultrasonic access testing under the insulation. And that brought us really up to when my dad got involved in it. So this was in the 70s and 80s. And that is what brought about the entire inspection plug industry. I hope that sheds some light on it.
It does.
I love talking about it.
That's super fascinating. I love that. So at that point then, your dad got involved, and then did the design change at all since that time and to where you guys are now?
Yes. He sold to Dow the inspection plug that they developed, because they needed to have it available to all of their plants, and they didn't want to get involved in manufacturing or something like that. So my dad's company that he worked for at the time had these plugs made for Dow, and they were sold exclusively to Dow. And then my dad realized that the problem that they had with this special sledging tool was that it was a cumbersome tool to use, and it didn't seal very well. You're still talking metal to metal. So they were contingent upon a small O-ring was under that metal collar, and that provided as much enhanced sealability that they could come up with. But still, you were talking metal to metal. Once you penetrate that insulation jacketing, and then a rubber cap went on top of that. So Dad came up with the idea of just inverting that, that when you penetrate the insulation jacketing, you should install a rubber or an elastomer seal, and then a metal cap that would expand as it fit inside the sleeve, the rubber sleeve, and create the weatherproof seal. And that was his patent that he was awarded in 1992. And so from that developed a whole different inspection plug available to the market. One, the idea that it was an elastomer sleeve and a metal cap. So for one, an immediate thing that people noticed is you didn't have all those red dots anymore on piping. But it just looked better. It certainly sealed better. And then it turns out that as the rubber is exposed to the UV on the original Dow plugs, that they deteriorated. So a benefit that my dad's patent had, in addition to the sealability and aesthetics, was the fact that it lasted longer, because there was no exposed elastomer. The elastomer was completely covered up. And so it had all of these benefits going. And that's what Dad came up with. And from that patent came the idea of the NDT inspection plug. And that started NDT Seals. And unfortunately, he died soon after the patent was awarded, and before the company actually was able to stand on its own. So it was soon after that, in 94, that I left my career, which was the automotive industry in Detroit, moved back home to Houston, and took over NDT Seals. And Tom, my next door neighbor in Detroit, decided to help me with this. And he is the financial end of it. And I took the sales, quality control, production end of it. And we've made a go of it for 30 years now, close to 30 years.
Yeah, that's really amazing. And I know that you guys had a blog post recently about why and how your design really helps to protect better than the other designs out there, helps protect against corrosion under insulation because it's a better seal and because it's got better longevity due to the, you know, not being as susceptible to the UV because it's completely covered.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, it was a really interesting read to really think about the design, which probably so many of us in the NDT industry have seen over the years, but never once really thought about it.
And it's still very much a niche, certainly segment of the NDT business, but testing for corrosion under insulation is huge, and it's well worth it. I mean, there are inspection companies all over the Gulf Coast, worldwide, really, that need our product to be able to do their job, period.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. And it really sounds like using the right plug is just super important. Otherwise, you're, you know, introducing these areas of moisture infiltration into the system, which is no good for anybody. So I loved hearing about the how the design changed over the years and how it's overcoming those different challenges. You know, I love the Curly scale. That's amazing.
I do too. I love knowing those kind of details on the history of a product is niche as yeah. inspection plug is, but they Curly played a role, a major yeah. role.
There you go. There you go.
Has to start somewhere.
It's just like on the railroads, because the railroad gauge is, you know, two horses' butts wide.
Never thought of that.
See, never just thought of that. Just in the U.S. though. Just there. You so there you go. So I think all of us in NDT and certainly in the petrochem, oil and gas, you know, in those worlds, I think we understand that getting to a real understanding of the progression of deterioration in a piping system is really, really important. And in order to have a real understanding of that, it's important to eliminate as many variables as possible in the testing process to make sure that we are comparing apples to apples. And so we know that you guys have the inspection plugs, and that certainly is a good indicator of where your inspection should happen. But I know you guys also make inspection labels, which I recently learned more about. And in this regard, there's a lot of features that maybe folks don't understand about the inspection labels themselves. Or maybe never thought about. Can you tell us a little bit about the inspection labels and some of the features or details about them?
That's a product that we're especially proud of at NDT Seals because we originated this whole idea of using labels in a corrosion under insulation inspection program. And it came about at our customer's request that they said, I understand why you use plugs. What do you have to test and identify non-insulated pipe and equipment? And so I thought, well, that's interesting, you know? And you think, well, that certainly somebody makes a product like that. But when you get into the details of it, for one, it's got to be very UV resistant because you're in an outside environment, a harsh environment, and refineries, petrochemical plants. And there's a problem with the adhesives that they can leach into the piping material, especially some of the higher grade piping like stainless is very susceptible to leachability. So if you throw any type of labeling that would withstand an outdoor environment, you probably have a very strong adhesive that begins to eat into the piping itself. So this is you can't go there. You cannot introduce that into refineries. And so we worked with 3M to come up with a material that could survive a petrochemical environment and had an adhesive that was very low leachability and be able to prove it. What is the leachability of chloride, fluoride, and the other dangerous elements of an adhesive material? So that's what we did. We worked with 3M to come up with this stuff. And it turns out that not only for non-insulated pipe and equipment was this a good product, but it worked too in addition to the inspection plugs, because the plants need to identify what is this location number that I'm taking my reading or doing my visual inspection. So some of the very first inspection labels we produced had barcodes on them so that the customer who gave us the format that they wanted and the serial numbers that wanted in the embedded code, so they would place it next to the inspection plug. So that helped that inspector identify where they were in the process. Because you can imagine, as they're doing all of this reading, it's got to be entered somewhere so you can handle all of that data and analyze the data. So some of the very first inspection labels we came up with were barcode. And it's worked out to be a wonderful product and well-respected in the industry. I think our product is, both the plugs and the labels. And all of our competitors now also have inspection labels. So that's flattery, best compliment.
That's right. That's when you know you have something good, when everybody copies.
Yes. I was thrilled. I was thrilled to see that. But it came, the whole origination of that product came from listening to your customer. And that's been like a basic tenet of our company, is as much customer contact as you can have. And we still do that today by requiring the younger generation that's just now starting to work in our company, going to visit customers and suppliers is very important. It's part of their job requirement. Is quarterly, you plan to go talk to the customer. And as things progress in the NDT industry, there'll be different types of equipment that they need to use to do this type testing for corrosion under insulation, and how should our product evolve? Because it will.
Absolutely. And I think that's how you guys came up with the sort of lanyard on the cap too, right? It was a customer suggestion.
Yes. And so, and you talk to the people that do the inspections, and they're the ones who said, that was the problem with the Dow plug, is that you popped it out of the hole, did your testing, but in the meantime, you dropped the cap. And you're 30 feet up, you're not going to replace it.
Yeah.
You can't leave it open. That's not an option. So that's why that came about. Thanks for bringing that up. I forgot all about it.
Yeah. Well, I drop things frequently. So that to me is an extremely important feature right there.
And I know you with your bridge work, and haven't you had some stories where you're on top of the Empire State Building and everything? I mean, you need to know what that inspector's job is and entails, and how can your product make that easier?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. For sure. Yeah. And the industry, I think, is finally going in that direction. I feel like the modules are getting smaller for inspectors. They're starting to use some geotagging and that sort of thing. So super important to listen to the industry and listen for the pain points. So I'm glad that the next generation is getting involved with that as well.
So important. So important.
And really, I mean, as somebody who worked my entire career in NDT, I never really thought about these products ever, I can tell you. I just didn't until I met you guys. And I was like, oh, that's very interesting. I didn't think of that. They were just always at that location and we would go and test and that would be it. So I am so glad that you guys are out there leading the way. And really listening to customers. It's really important. I feel like maybe that's a little bit of a lost art these days. So
I do too. Or not emphasized enough, because that's how you grow.
Yes.
Is keep your ear to the industry, be a part of the industry.
Exactly. Exactly. Mm-hmm. And that sort of leads me to my next question. I know that you guys have always led the way in terms of giving back to the industry. It's been very impressive to see how NDT Seals is always at the events, always in leadership positions. For as long as I've been involved in the international scale, which is many more years than I'd like to admit now. But you guys have always been a pillar of the NDT community, generation after generation. And maybe you could talk a little bit about why giving back to the industry as a whole has been a priority for the NDT Seals team.
You know, it has a basis in selfishness, actually. Remember I mentioned that I came back to Houston with a background in the automotive industry. So the petrochemical field was totally foreign to me. And my dad had died before I came back to Houston to be a part of this. So I had no mentoring as to what this product is, what's it for, how's it used. And it was some early customers who said, you know, you should get involved in ASNT because Houston has a very vibrant little community. They meet every month and it's a volunteer group. All kinds of people are part of this, not just inspectors, but all kinds of people. People that run the refineries are part of this, run the chemical plants are part of this. So it was selfishness, really, and maybe preservation on my part. That's a great advice, get involved. And so I just started going to the meetings. And there would have, I'd first of all meet the people that were at the meetings. And then there was a lot of items that they needed help, like who wants to put the calendar out or the newsletter out or the golf out or the vendor's night. There's a million things you can do that some guy from Detroit, I could raise my hand, I could do the newsletter, sure. And you just get involved and then you start meeting people that are at the refineries. And then there's my customer. Okay, how do you use these products? While I'm working on the newsletter, I'm learning all of this stuff. And so both Tom and I got involved, and Tom's contribution was started setting up the local section. There are accounting procedures. When we get advertisers for the calendars, we should invoice them, so we'll remember who has and has not paid, whereas we used to always do it on a spreadsheet, which works out fine until you're dealing with thousands of dollars just on the newsletter, thousands on the golf outing, thousands on this. And we're doing this all for scholarships. So we're starting to build a war. We needed to, file with the IRS, stuff like that. So the section needed a CPA like Tom. And that's how everybody can pitch in. There's lots of places to get involved, even if you're not technically a technician. But you're certainly meeting all of the people involved. And so that's why I got involved, was to meet the customers. And that's why I want the next generation of NDT, which is my nephew, Will, is one, and then Zach is another one, these guys are in their 30s, and they're just feeling their way, but it's the local section that's helping them feel their way. It's not really the company. It's their involvement. And so I'm letting them spread their wings, that however they want to personally get involved in the industry through the local ASNT section, this is what we want them to do. And they love it. They really do. Zach in particular has just been engrossed with the idea of helping the golf outing be a huge success, and the calendar. And so, so many different type things that it's gotten him involved in ASNT on a national level now too. And he likes that as well. And I've done some at the national level. I was a board member, but
I was going to say, you were involved a little bit. You were on the board, so.
I was on the board. And it was because of the Houston section pushing me that's what they thought I should do, that I said, okay, yeah, I'll try it. But boy, what an eye-opener. And what a wonderful experience it was to be on the board, for sure. And you realize that there's way more to NDT than the view from Houston Ship Channel.
Absolutely. And I think
I met you.
Exactly. And I think, some of the important things that people maybe forget is that, we all have skill sets that we can help, put together a newsletter or whatever else need from us. But
yeah.
Also, it's such a learning experience to be able to learn, even just on a section level, about leadership, about managing a different type of team. I started in the Metro New York, Northern New Jersey section. Same thing. I became the chairman, and then I was learning more about leadership there, and then on the national level. And then you start to learn about different parts of the industry that maybe you weren't involved with. So maybe you're involved with certification on a regular basis, but maybe you're not involved with the publications. Or, when you start to learn that there's so much more out there, section operations and all sorts of stuff that you didn't think about, and now you're learning each piece of it. I know I was on the governance committee for a long, long time. And so I learned how to write policies for governing a nonprofit organization, which I would not have gotten involved with otherwise. So I think people tend to forget that one of the reasons you go to these meetings, it's not just volunteering your time, but you're getting so much out of it. The networking, the professional development and growth. It's a win-win for everybody. And I think particularly the younger generation, not in your company clearly, but the younger generation doesn't, they don't see the value in it. So I do think it's really refreshing to see Zach and Will be involved in that way. And that you guys give them the latitude to find what they're passionate about and allow them to utilize some of their, you know, time to and talents to contribute to the industry as a whole, versus just going to work and coming home and doing your thing, you know?
Exactly, exactly. And where we're thinking of the new generation in our little company is the future of our little company and our products, that they are going to have to evolve. And we're better to see that coming than to be plugged into the industry and see where we're headed. Just from attending exhibits, just what's new and, it's coming. I mean, we can see what's coming.
Yeah. I mean, and you mentioned it, you know, maybe the curly scale is not going to be the scale for the whole, all of time, right?
This is true.
So yeah, it's good to see what the emerging technologies are. How is your product going to contribute to better usage of that products or those technologies on piping systems? Where else can it be used? That sort of thing. So absolutely. I think it's just an integral part of any business is to have that connection to the larger industry.
It is, especially in NDT, because it's such a broad industry.
It is.
I'm looking at it just as the petrochemical, but and certainly airplanes don't use inspection plugs or bridges, but there's a whole NDT world out there that you really want everyone in your company to realize see how broad it is.
And as you were talking about it, I thought, wow, this would probably be good for bridges, because right now we sort of have this, like, everybody just uses a marker and then tries to mark the end of a crack or where they inspected last time seems like maybe there might be some opportunity there.
So, I'm all ears, all ears.
Well, and I also feel that the NDT industry is so broad, but also a family. You know, we're a close-knit community. And I know you and your team have always had a tremendous impact on the industry, as well as on new professionals coming into the industry and making everyone feel welcome. I know my business partner, Michelle, and I both have felt the welcoming of NDT SEALs, all of you guys, when we came into the industry. So it's a real, you just have a generosity to the whole team that allows you guys to be so generous and welcoming to everybody else, which is really
it is personal, isn't it? It's like the way we like to do business, and you're of the same cloth, and it's personal to you too. You
know? Yeah, exactly.
As it is to us.
Well, Deal, thank you so much for joining us today and for helping the NDT industry grow.
My pleasure. I love talking about it. Thank you.
And thank you all for listening today. Remember to join us every month here at ndtnow.com, brought to you by Edify Technologies. Learn more at edify.com, and don't forget to check out their new online store.